This is the week of November 27th, and the music of Chrissy Cochran. The name of the song is Marlena. Hi there. Welcome back to another edition of the Marlena program, right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. We're here this time every week, so I'm looking forward to having you come in, sit down, take your shoes off, put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, and just get comfortable with us for the next 2 hours. We'll be taking your calls at 866-666-7926, and we want to hear about whatever's on your mind. So come on in and give me a call, won't you? Right here on Marlena. Well, a very good evening, good morning to you, wherever you may be. I am Marlena, and boy, what a Thanksgiving weekend we've had here, but we'll talk a bit about that later. Before I bring our guest in tonight, let me do a little bit of housekeeping. If you are listening to the program at any time other than 5 to 6 Pacific or 8 to 9 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or a very bright and early 1 UTC on a UTC Monday morning, you're listening to a repeat, and we'd like you to sit back and put your feet up and enjoy the program. If, however, you're listening live during those times, we will be taking your phone calls. We'd love to have you join in. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. My guest tonight is Larry Wanger, and Larry is the producer of the newest member to our ACB family here at the Mainstream, Disability Nation. Disability Nation is produced by Larry out of Phoenix, Arizona, where he has lived since October of 2004. He lived for just over 33 years up in Michigan, and as a person with a lifelong disability, Larry is very familiar with some of the stereotypes that some folks may have about people with disabilities. He believes that having a disability is, well, it's just simply a part of his life, and it isn't something that's the end of the world. He has devoted his career and his professional life to helping others with disability increase their independence. He began this career at the Disability Advocates of Kent County, which is the independent living center up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And there, he worked in the areas of employment, business development, community organizing, individual and systems advocacy, and grant writing, reporting, and management. As I mentioned before, he moved out to Phoenix in 2004 after working for 6 years at DAKC in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He accepted a position with the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living, and I love the acronym ABIL, ABLE. He is currently the operations manager for ABIL's Employment Services Unit. So as you can see, Larry has a lot to offer, and I met him a few years ago when I think we were in Pittsburgh at an ACB convention, and so it's my pleasure to say welcome to Marlena, Larry.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So I bet you're finding a big difference between living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and living in Phoenix.
Where to begin with that?
I
haven't seen snow in years, and I'm not complaining.
Yeah, well, you know, it's doing something right now in Seattle that it isn't supposed to do.
Uh-oh.
It's snowing!
Well, This too shall pass.
Okay. All right. Then I'll calm down and go back to the show.
I'm sorry, though. That's terrible.
Oh, it is awful. I hate snow. But anyway, now that I've sent all the snowbirds packing, they'll never listen to me again. I know a bit about what you've done for the last 6 or so years of your life in terms of your disability advocacy and so on, but tell us a little bit about you, first of all. Have you been blind your whole life?
I have been. I've had a visual impairment my entire life, but back in, I would guess, late 2001, it got worse, but always been legally blind. So back in late 2001, actually, it was early 2002. I applied to get a guide dog from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
a little prejudice there.
Yeah, well, we are.
Yeah, and
terrific dog.
And what is your dog's name? I love it.
Yeah, my first dog's name was Daryl, but he had to retire. My new one that I just got in April, his name is Trenton.
Trenton? I didn't know Daryl retired.
Yes, he did, back in March.
Because I always used to love to say, there's Larry and Daryl.
Yeah, you and everyone else.
That's right.
I certainly miss that.
That's right. That's right. Well, now, let's talk a bit about, before we get into talking about the Disability Nation itself, talk to me about your love of advocacy. When did you first realize that being an advocate was something that, I mean, I believe it's got to be in one's blood?
Well, you're right, it is. But I think that all of us who have disabilities, whether it's visual impairment or something else, I think that we have a responsibility to engage in advocacy and in promoting independence and independent living and inclusion of people with disabilities. And I've, you know, even outside of work, I've been doing that for a long time, advocating even for myself, but also for other people. And I just really feel like, you know, as a person with a disability, that I need to be about advocating for my rights as a person and for those of others who have disabilities. So I've always felt this way.
You know, I completely agree with you. I mean, I can remember many, many years ago, I would watch The Tonight Show, and this was like years and years ago, and I was like 14, and I would sit there and think, I want to go on that show because I want to tell people that being blind isn't a bad thing. And so I think we've all had the desire to want to educate and want to change, but I think many of us don't know how to begin the process.
Well, you do it just by living your life and being as independent as you can be. Not everybody is a public speaker or will pick up a microphone as you and I do and do a show or, you know, those types of things. Some of us will be advocates and promote independent living and shatter those stereotypes about disability just by living life. And as long as you do that to the fullest and you really work hard to reach your goals and to demonstrate that just because you have a disability, whatever it is, doesn't mean that you're different. You're going to do that in a variety of ways, and whatever way is best for you is just fine.
Tell me what you think of when you use the phrase independent living.
It's different depending on the person and their disability, but I think in general, most of us with a disability certainly can work at some level, can be involved in our community, whether it be down at the school for our kids, or be, you know, volunteering with an organization. It may not even be related to disability. Living, owning a house or renting an apartment, whatever the case might be. When I think of independent living, it's just striving to be as much included and a part of your community as you can be. And for some people, that might mean living in a group home or having assistance, and that's okay as long as you are striving to be as independent and provide a positive image and role model to society about what disability is.
Yeah, I spent a few years in the independent living movement several years back, back in the 80s. And one of the things that I so loved about the movement, and I'm assuming that it's still there, because to me it was the core of the independent living movement, was that your independence had nothing to do with my independence. And so if, as a blind person, I felt perfectly capable of cutting my meat, let's say, just as an example, if you as a blind person felt that you are more independent by discreetly asking for assistance, that's just as well respected as what I do.
I would agree with that. I think that that's a good example, and we can think of many others, as long as, again, as I said, as long as you are doing your best to be as independent and successful as you can be. Others might reach different levels, but together we're doing something good.
That's right. That's right. Let's talk a little bit about Disability Nation, because that, after all, is the key thing that I wanted to bring you on the show and talk about. If anyone tuned in early, as many of you do, you heard Disability Nation. It precedes this show. It's exactly right before this program. It starts its airing, let's see if I can get this right now, in North America on Saturday night, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. And I think that's 3:30 Universal Sunday morning. And it runs for 24 hours. Larry's laughing because he said one time, I get confused about the times you guys used. And I said, so do I. So I always have to do it on my fingers. But
if they were listening before the show started, we hope they're still listening now.
Yeah, oh, I know. We hope they didn't go away. It's a wonderful program, and I've had the opportunity to listen to some of the other shows that perhaps folks are catching it just on ACB Radio, haven't had a chance to hear. But let's step back and talk to me about, why did you start Disability Nation?
Well, let me back up real quick and just say that I have always wanted to be on the radio. When I was a kid, I used to record tapes, you know, pretending that I was on the radio. And then finally, about 10 years ago, I got an actual job working in radio. And so I did that for a while, and so I've got some radio experience, and that's proven to be real helpful. Disability Nation began and really still is what they call a podcast, and I'll explain more about that in a minute. But why did I start the show? I guess that I wanted to use my talent for public speaking and radio and journalism, because I've done a lot of writing too. I wanted to use those talents to help the disability community in terms of being aware of what's going on in the world, because there's a lot of stuff happening related to disability that you may not know about if you don't go out of your way to do some research and learn. So I wanted to provide a source of information for people with disabilities. I also wanted to entertain a little bit, so sometimes I hope the show is entertaining. And I wanted to challenge people in terms of, think about what you hear and what's happening out there, or what your stereotypes and beliefs are, even as people with disabilities. And so I try to incorporate all of that into the show. People ask me about the name of the show, and, it just kind of came to me at some point earlier this year. I started the show back in around the 1st of June, but really began some of the planning and thinking about it long before that. And the name just came to me, and I'm trying to promote the oneness, if you will, of the disability community. We are all out here with our own disabilities. Some of us blind, some of us use wheelchairs, some of us, you know, spinal cord injuries, some of us have mental health issues. We got to realize, though, that there's 54 million of us in this country, and that number is growing every day at all levels of society. Disability is an equal opportunity class, and we're all welcome to it.
Yeah.
And we're all here, but while we all have our own issues related to our own disabilities, I really feel like if we could get close to being on the same page and be more able, if that's a sentence, be better able to work together on issues as a community, we have a lot of power. And we just need to realize that. And even if a third of us would get involved and really, really step up and be it advocacy, be it public awareness, be it calling your congressman about legislation, be it protesting or writing an editorial or just talking to your friends about disability issues, if we could all get informed and all do that, we would be the most powerful group in this country, and we could get what we need to be independent and more independent, and the supports that we all need and the programs that we all need. And I guess I was really inspired to this a couple of months back. Back in March, in several cities across the country, this is kind of a little side story, but in several cities across the country, including Phoenix, the Hispanic community and their supporters really organized. And in one afternoon, I watched about 20,000-plus people march past my office. And if you've never seen a group of people like that go by supporting a cause, it's pretty incredible. And I was really, you know, no matter what you feel about those issues that they were protesting about and trying to bring public awareness to, that was a pretty powerful thing. And they had 100,000 about a month later. And I got to thinking about that, and no, maybe 20,000 or 100,000 of us aren't going to march in Washington and protest, but we've got even more power than that group collectively if we could just get organized and make it happen.
I'm going to open the phones in just a bit, but and I do want to get back to actually talking about the program, but you said a couple of things that I want to make sure we don't lose. One of them is the, which I completely agree, by the way, with everything you said, but the need to get on the same page together. I mean, I think that that's critical. However, there are, shall I say, factions. That's not even the word I want, but there's a fear in our disability community that, oh my gosh, if I even get to understand what wheelchair users need or people who are blind need or people who are deaf, I'm going to be giving up something that I need. How do you deal with that thought?
Well, those are very good points, but collectively we also all have issues that affect us. For example, all of us with disabilities need an effective, I'll use the rehabilitation system for a good example. All of us benefit from a rehab system that provides us with good job skills, job training, and employment opportunities. So that I think is one. Accessible voting, and that's a good one because I saw several.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I saw several different disability groups working together on that, and we all had our own issues. People using wheelchairs and other mobility-oriented disabilities had problems with accessing polling places and voting booths. Those of us with visual impairments had issues with, reading the ballot and making sure that the machines so the point is that we all had issues, but collectively we got something done. And I'd like to see more of that. And yeah, there are specific disability issues that, I as a blind person don't understand the issues that someone with a hearing impairment or a wheelchair user faces. But it would be certainly helpful if we could understand that. And I don't think it has to mean that you give up
something
at all.
No, I completely agree with you. We have a caller. I'm just going to ask you to hold one more second, caller, while I explain to Larry. You will hear the phone ring. Just keep going with your thought. As I like to tell my guests, I'm not rich or important enough yet to have a real sophisticated studio line. So it's we're on a two-line hybrid phone patch, and that's as sophisticated as it gets. But before I bring the caller in, I can remember, and I've been very excited to have you on the show, Larry, because I can remember being back in the 70s when I first got involved as an advocate, and I was doing cross-disability training first as a recipient of the training and then as a provider with various contracts. And one of the things I so remember when we were working on the 504 regs, that's how far back I go, is that in Massachusetts we were trying to put a coalition of people together with various disabilities, and no one would talk to anyone. And we later joked that the blind people were afraid that the wheelchair users were going to run over the guide dogs' tails with their wheelchairs, and the deaf people thought everybody was talking about them. So you know, we really moved on from that perspective. But let me bring the caller in here and let them have some words with you. Hello, caller. You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena and Larry. This is Joe Hartz, the Buick City bad boy of advocacy from Michigan.
Hey, Joe.
And we don't have any snow here, Larry.
Well, we'll work on that.
I was out sunbathing today. It was 59 degrees and sunny.
Wait a minute. Are you back in Michigan now? I thought you were in New Hampshire.
No, I started out in New Hampshire.
Oh, I can't keep up with you, Joe.
I made a lateral move.
Okay.
No, I grew up in Michigan. I've been in Michigan since about 2001. And Larry doesn't know me. That's an inside joke. But I did want to call and just add to the wonderful flavor of Disability Nation that I concur that Rush Limbaugh is a big fat jerk. And we'll leave it at that. But I also just...
I wonder if Rush took his medication today to deal with that. I don't know.
Well, it depends on... Well, never mind.
Why don't you give me a call and tell me, Rush?
I'm sure he's listening.
I'm sure he is.
I'm legally blind, and I'm not faking it, Rush. I don't know what illegally blind is. But going back, I just got through listening to the visitability show, and we did have a small victory here, you know, on a visibility project on publicly funding housing, publicly funded housing, at least having some minimal accessibility standards on new housing built with state money, kind of parallel to the bill that's proposed in Washington. Going to the issue of cross disability work. We're all in the same boat, and I've been working on not only the accessible ballot itself or voting instrument, but now we're trying to clean up here in Michigan on these places that are just so woefully out of compliance with basic ADA access. I mean, we've got public schools that don't have handicapped parking, some that don't have ramps, that are also used as polling places. We've had a disaster in several cities where surveys have been done and people haven't followed their alteration triggers on sidewalks and that type of thing. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, Larry, but your old outfit did a survey of public right-of-way in Grand Rapids. And, man, just thousands upon thousands of violations. And nobody saves any money by building these things incorrectly. You know? All they do is keep us off the streets and narrow our limited capabilities. But just as a humorous aside to the thing that Marlena just mentioned about everybody is afraid to work together, I'm also a member of ADAPT. And, you know, talking about the guide dogs being worried about the service animals and the wheelchairs and the canes and everything get tangled up. Well, after a three-day ADAPT action, you know, there's always a big party. And I hate to say that alcohol is involved, but you get about 500 people with various disabilities and throw in alcohol in a live band. And
I bet that's interesting.
There's reason to fear.
But everybody's having fun, and that's the important part.
Yeah, exactly.
We are, but I really appreciate your show, Larry. It's great, and I will get off the phone so that other people can talk to you. But
and Joe,
I
now
want
you
to bring up some topics for the future, and I'll do that by phone.
And now you can catch it on ACB Radio just before Marlena.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I did twice this week.
See?
And
there
just right before I called.
There you go. There you go. You do your... Hey, I have a favor to ask of you, Joe.
What?
Now, this is... You can label me being politically correct.
Okay.
But, oh, this just cranks my cranker. The spaces are not handicapped. They're accessible parking spaces.
Actually, Joe,
you shocked me.
You shocked me, Joe. We talked about visually impaired housing.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Well, aside from the fact that some people are getting snookered building segregated housing. In some areas.
Yeah.
I've never seen a visually impaired house.
Well, I've never seen a handicapped parking spot either. So they all look pretty okay to me.
You
know?
Got me, Marlena.
All right, Joe.
And it's always good
Thanks,
laughing
Joe.
Around a little bit.
All right. You take care and happy holiday.
You too. Same
okay.
To you.
All
Larry,
right.
Larry doesn't know me, but good to meet you, Larry.
Right. Okay.
Nice to meet you, Joe.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Wow, lots of points brought up, eh?
Yeah, you know, and you're talking about what cranks your cranker, and I tell you what gets me is how many times I hear the term wheelchair bound.
Oh, golly!
I tell you what, I haven't found anybody yet who's bound to their wheelchair. But
well, you know, Gary,
the media has a long way to go.
Gary, the board guy who called you, is a wheelchair user, and
right.
Oh, that drives him totally crazy. And he'll tell people, I am not bound and gagged to my wheelchair.
There's a lot that the media could do, or that we as a disability community could do, even to inform the media, because I, on a regular basis, and now even more so because I'm constantly doing research for the show, but I often find or hear statements that just are way, well, not people first, and just really incorrect.
And, you know, even, and we do have another call, we're going to bring the call in just a second here, but even within our own community, you know, I'm frequently criticized by people, not in a mean way, but people will say to me, don't put all your energy into language. There's so much more important stuff to be done than how people are referring to us, but words paint pictures. And
they
if,
sure do.
And if you describe someone as being wheelchair bound, what image does that give you as opposed to a wheelchair user? So
if we're not careful about the words we use, then nobody else is going to be. And I caught myself even when I started doing the show, I used to make statements, people with disabilities and whatever. And I've really kind of taken it to heart. I mean, I'm a person with a disability, and my audience is people with disabilities.
Yeah.
I just simply say those of us with disabilities,
And
so language, I think, is a good starting point.
Yeah, yep. Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, caller. You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Larry and Marlena. This is Suzanne Erb from Philadelphia. How are you?
Hey, Suzanne. How are you?
Okay.
Great to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually did get laid off, as I was afraid I would.
Oh, no.
And so now I have lots of time for philosophizing and for working on issues that I think are important to me. And as the chair of the Philadelphia Mayor's Commission on People with Disabilities, one of the things that I'm really trying to do is to sort of create a better dialogue among people with all sorts of disabilities, because I really think that if we don't work together, we'll hang separately. I'm really concerned with the shrinkage of dollars that are being appropriated for services and everything else, that if we all fight over the little crumbs, all the crumbs will be taken away.
Exactly. But, you know, that's exactly what, you know, causes problems and what groups that, I don't want to say are working against us, but what the opposition of any cause wants to see happen. They want
people to
fight over the scraps, and
mm-hmm.
A basic principle of community organizing, I've done some of that around public transportation and some other issues, a basic premise is that, you know,
get organized so that your opposition can't divide you, so
exactly.
that you're all on the same page and working together, and we need to do some of that here.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I'm really glad that we're doing this, because I think we really need to. Even the infighting inside the various disability groups, it's, you know, you can see that too.
But you know,
go ahead.
You know, one thing I'm worried about is, I see it everywhere, and I'm curious to know kind of what you guys feel about this. I'm concerned that we aren't getting young people. Somehow we are not able to get these young people with disabilities to realize that advocacy is so incredibly important, and that what you've got now, there's a whole big bunch of us that put out a lot of blood, sweat, and tears so that we
yep.
could all have that. But if we don't keep fighting and working, we're going to lose it. But I don't know how to get that message across.
I don't either. And I would even maintain that a lot of the gains that we've made are being eroded.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're really going back.
Yeah. What do you think, Larry?
Well, let me throw this at you, because I did an interview the other day with someone who writes for Ability Magazine, and we talked about the same issue. And one of the things we came up with is that and understand, you know, I'm 35, and I graduated high school the year that the ADA became law.
Wow.
So I
graduated the year 94, 142 came into effect.
Oh, my gosh, I beat you both. I graduated before any of it. I graduated in 68.
Wow.
Well, but we all come to the table then as people with disabilities with different points of view. And those of you who have been around at this for a while, hats off to you guys, because you worked to make some great things happen. And I think that it's easy for those of us my age and younger who haven't necessarily had to fight for the Rehab Act and haven't had to fight for the ADA and some of these things. I think it's easy, and I'm not saying this is the case for everyone, but I think it's easy to kind of fall into this mindset that I've got what I need, and that other people have done the work, and I might run into little battles now and then, but we need a major calling card, a major issue to bring this community back together to start working for again, maybe.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is I think that those of us, too, who may have attended schools for the blind and maybe other kinds of schools, or I don't want to say institutions, but you know what I mean,
right.
that people who did that sort of had the knowledge of a community out there. And I'm not really sure that some young people know that there really is
right.
a culture
and
a community.
That's a great point. That's a great point, because I went to a regular school and was mainstreamed, and I don't know very many people with I'm visually impaired, and I can't think of very many people otherwise that I know that are my age with a visual impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that folks that are older than I they do have a broader sense of community and seem to socialize more, and I don't know if it's the school setting or what it is that has brought about the difference, but there definitely is.
Well, and I think it's a good point too about what you said, Larry, about needing a perhaps some sort of a calling card. I mean, in the 70s, yeah. It was getting the 504 regs signed, you know?
Right.
That occupied our lives, you know? That was,
right.
You know, and then the Davis case came to mm-hmm. the Supreme Court. And, oh, my gosh, I'll never forget that day. I was living in Washington, D.C., and I was working at one of the universities there on a grant to look at opportunities for recreation for people with disabilities, and I remember how devastated we were about the Davis case coming
yeah.
down, and that pulled everybody together. And then, of course, in the 80s, it was, you know, getting the ADA together. But since then, it's been, there certainly have been issues that should be calling cards, but for some
sure.
reason, we haven't been able to convert them into calling cards.
But, you know, that's
cards.
Been the case, I think, with lots of things. There's so many things politically that you would think should be raising the hackles of people. I don't really want to bring in politics because I know this isn't a political show per se. but depending on which side of the spectrum you are, whether you're red or blue or left or right, there are all sorts of things
yeah.
that people could be getting upset about. And
yeah.
there's so much apathy in across so many spectra in this country. And
yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's not just the disability community.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not just the disability community.
That's right.
You know,
exactly.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Well, Suzanne, have you had an opportunity to listen to Disability Nation yet?
Not yet.
Well, do check it out. It's it'll be here next week, just before me. That's its last airing, and then it'll start at 10:30 Saturday night your time in Philadelphia. So
I'll make sure to catch it.
Yeah, it's a great show. I'm really, when Larry talked to me about bringing it to ACB Radio, I was like ready to jump up and down. You know, it's a wonderful show. So catch it and let us know what you think.
Oh, I sure will. Thanks so much.
All right. Great to talk to you
Thanks.
Again.
Thanks.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. How do we turn these things into calling cards? How do we turn
well,
our issues?
I don't know, but I can tell you I can think of a number of issues offhand that are even current that transcend political party, right, left, red, or blue. I mean, there are issues that are very real. And, yeah, they may not directly impact you as an individual, but the euthanasia and assisted suicide issue seems to be extremely
yes.
active right now, especially over in Europe. That's
yeah.
one I can think of. You know, accessibility in terms of, you know, the web for blind and visually impaired folks and also others with disabilities who use assistive technology. I think it's a big one. I can think of a lot of them accessibility to homes and how those are built, the topic just on the show this week. There are just a lot of issues that we really can look at and say we need to get active around those issues.
Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. It's Pam from Visalia, California.
Hi, Pam. Meet Larry.
Hi, Larry. Thank heaven for lag. I had a chance to turn my radio down a long while before I got on. You know, I had a couple of things I wanted to mention. The first thing, though, to respond to your concerns, justifiable concerns, about the lack of involvement of young people, I just wonder if part of the issue is that the young people of today don't have the same issues that we have. We're not fighting, they aren't fighting for access. But they're still fighting with things like getting their assignments, maybe in their case, fighting with recalcitrant software and inaccessible texts and teachers or instructors or professors, whatever their level, who don't understand what they're going through. And I know just in general, civic groups are not as active as they are. I mean, or were. We have a hard time getting attendance at ham radio and computer user meetings. I think maybe it's just endemic. Now, I didn't say I had an answer, but I wonder if this is just something that is a current battle of the 21st century.
Well, it's nothing necessarily new. It's been going on for a while, and as someone who's been involved in civic organizations and other things, and as a person who has to prioritize their time and that sort of thing, believe me, I know what you're talking about, and I think, you know, we could point to a lot of different factors from responsibilities people have. People work more hours now. People have just many, many more demands. And I know that it's easy to let, you know, civic involvement and being active outside of your personal life to let that slide. And I just really feel like that might be part of it. And that we in general as a people need to really get on board again.
And another thing I wanted to mention, you said something very early on in the show that really struck home. I believe you mentioned it, Larry. Just, you know, living our lives and being advocates just by being who we are. This is a humorous episode that I think Marlena will appreciate, and you may too. In 1999, we decided to go for dinner to a particular local restaurant that we hadn't been to before. And we had our dinner, very, very lovely New Year's Eve dinner, and we heard music. And we decided we would check out what was going on. So we turned and started walking in the direction of the music, and five people said, "That's the bar! You don't want to go down there!" And we said, "Oh, why not?" So they kind of, okay. Well, we had one heck of a great New Year's Eve, and from then on, ever since then, this restaurant, and interestingly, we happen to be some of the few Anglos who go to that particular lounge. It is largely a Mexican-American or just plain Mexican Hispanic bar. Most of the people, I would suspect, are Mexican. And we've heard comments on that from white people. "You were the only white people in that bar." But ever since then, we walk in, hi, here, let's see if we can find you a stool, or you want a table, or, I mean, they have been more, once we showed them that, hey, we could have fun and drink and dance just like the sighted folks of whatever nationality, ever since that, we're welcome. And it's just one, things like that. And Dave is now the president of our ham radio, our local organization, our local club. He's also outreach on the in the computer club. It just being and doing. We did manage to get audible pedestrian signals in our local area.
Oh, good for you.
It's just the two of us, we kind of did it on our own because we did. We contacted Caltrans. Just being and doing and just living our lives. We've made a lot of inroads, and hopefully that will translate to greater acceptance for the next blind or disabled people.
Well, that all sounds great, Pam, and I commend you both for going to the bar.
And, hey, we had a ball.
And
you were there.
I wish I was too. And for getting the signals, and you know, and all the other community work, and you know, it really is true that the little differences that we can quietly make in our individual lives, like going to that club, becoming the president of the computer club or whatever. Those little differences are voluminous, really. It's the little drops that fill the bucket. So.
Yep, I would agree with you, and that's great that you've done that, whatever the setting is, showing that people with disabilities do the same stuff as their non-disabled counterparts.
Yep.
Yeah, and I know Dave has something real quick to say, so I will pass it right over.
All right.
You can get on.
All right.
Hi, Dave McElroy here. How you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Hi there. Hi, Larry. Quick comment. I have also been involved in, I was in college in the 70s and was involved in the, you know, we had our disability union or whatever we called it at the time. And I found, and I felt now, and I do believe that when, for example, and I'm I know I'm going to strike a sore point here, and I don't mean to, and I don't mean to cause any problem. But, you know, the fact is that when one group's needs are met, it is possible, and it does happen, that another group does lose out in some way. Example, you know, we who are longtime guide dog users, I think we have to really say that now that the government is getting so totally involved in this, we really don't have quite as many rights or quite as many abilities to use our dogs than we did. That's one of the reasons I've chosen at this point. I just have dragged my feet in getting another one.
Okay, I need you to give me an example of that because I'm struggling to understand what you just said.
Okay. Recent example. We have now the airlines proposing to charge people with service dogs, either charge them for an extra seat or bring them onto another plane. Now, this is coming up again. It was down. It's coming up again. I think the reason this is happening is simply because the volume of dogs is now such that they're no longer under the radar screen as we were for many, many years.
Right.
That is one obvious example I give you immediately.
Yeah, and I mean that whole service dog issue is talk about things that crank my cranker. I'll be interested to get Larry's take on this as well, but I think it's more than unfortunate that we do not have to show an ID for the service dog.
I absolutely agree with you.
That is not a popular opinion, but it is my opinion.
Okay, well, I would just... Oh, another issue
I'd
like
to... Hang on, let me let Larry respond. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I would... I actually did my first shows that I did with Disability Nation were about service animal issues because I knew this was such a great topic. So, you know, certainly check those out. But I have mixed feelings about the whole thing because my views have evolved about things. I absolutely think you should have to show ID if you're using a service animal, and I know hopefully a few people don't turn off my show now because I've said that, but you know, you got to say what you think, and I really feel that way because there are a lot of people who I am annoyed to no end when I go into the mall and I see people with dogs, and it's a big problem down here in Phoenix, and I can't speak for the rest of the country.
Well, it is here too.
But at the same time, I also see... my views have changed in terms of understanding more about why people use certain types of service dogs and that kind of thing. And so I think as guide dog handlers, we have to have some give and take.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave. What was your second
point?
Well,
you're not addressing the main point, and that is that we as guide dog users truly are losing our right if we need to, you know, pay an extra fee for the plane. That didn't happen before. Now, I don't want to denigrate service dog people.
Hang on, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I know this isn't the topic of the show, but I absolutely disagree with you on that because again, probably not the popular view, but if I use two spaces, whether I'm overweight or have a guide dog or whatever, and people will get upset at me for mixing the two, the airlines doesn't have a responsibility to forego another $250 airline fare because I need a second seat. So if they've got a body to fill it, they should. And if I need it, I should pay for it.
You know, this is a topic that I would love to actually discuss at length on the show because I've got a response and I've got to say that Dave has another point and I'll let you do that second point as soon as I spit out my response here. I don't disagree with you, Larry, if my dog and I actually take up two seats. But most of us, unless we have a huge dog, have been taught to keep the dog tucked under at our feet, you know, pretty much in the space where the luggage would go under the seat in front of you. And if you're careful, you don't have to take up two seats. So I don't want to pay for two seats. So anyway, go ahead, Dave.
The dog is your underseat carrier. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead. What's your second point?
Well, I think we've had an issue, and maybe we're sort of starting to But people in wheelchairs desperately need curb ramps. Obviously, this is a given. We know this. blind people need to know when we're getting into the street. This is something that, again, how these two can mesh, and they just have not yet. And all the, you know, and everybody, and the other problem here is that when you have a law, and this is where I disagree with people like Joe Hart, who say you sue everybody under the sun and everything will be hunky-dory. When you get a law passed, people will do the absolute minimum that they can to comply with the law, to meet the law's standards, and nobody's happy. I don't know how to get these, I don't know how to resolve these issues. And with that,
you make a good point.
Another call taker. Oh, sorry.
You make a good point, and I guess I would say to you that my understanding of the curb cut issue is a perfect example of what you're talking about. Here, the disability community works to increase public access by creating curb cuts, and now I, as a blind person, and sometimes even my guide dog, if the curb cut is very succinct, go right into the street. And so tactile markers and truncated domes have been created, and I've actually seen those have been in San Rafael, California. They have those. They're terrific.
Yeah.
And, my understanding is that's actually being incorporated. So there are ways to, by working together and communicating, that's a great example of how we together as a community can create good for everybody.
And we did that recently here in Seattle. I've alluded before on my show that in my private life I do a fair amount of consulting on accessible design and barrier removal. We'll design some barriers too.
There you go.
And one of my clients, one of my company's clients, is an entity here called Sound Transit. And one of the things that we did was we assembled people who use wheelchairs, people who are blind, people who are deafblind, because Seattle has quite a deafblind population here. And we built mock-ups of what certain areas would look like down in a huge area in the garage at Sound Transit. And we had people walk over and roll over and use cane over and use dog over, all these different kinds of truncated domes. And we came up with the placement of truncated domes orthogonally, if I can say that word. And that gave the wheelers no issue with rolling over the domes and having spasms. People with canes didn't miss the domes when they swung their canes. You could feel them with your feet. And so in the community of transportation in the Seattle area, all of the stations served by Sound Transit, which it is, it's a multi-county service provider. They're all built alike, and all the curb ramps are alike. So you really can feel when you're approaching that curb ramp, and the wheelers don't have issues with it as well. Because one of the problems with the truncated domes is a lot of the people who use wheelchairs, you know, just the slightest bump can really send you into a spasm.
Sure.
So again, it's, you know, talking together, working together. What works for you? This doesn't work for me.
Well, the problem is that's all very well and good in the real world, but the real world is not the financial real world, and the powers that be aren't going to buy it. They're going to buy the low bid. Anyway, with that, I'll leave it for another call.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. I don't know. They bought it in Seattle. I
yeah, and I don't want to oversimplify what I'm suggesting, that we can all just be happy and work together.
Right.
We're going to have our issues in any community, be it the African-American community, Hispanic community, or any community. It's going to have its issues. But overall, if we can seek to work together as our you know, real purpose, then I think we can get a lot done.
We have another call. Should we bring him in? Hi there.
Sure.
You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
This is George Wurzel, another Michigan person.
Hey, George. How are you?
Hi, George. Doing good.
Hey, I haven't heard from you in a long time. A
couple different things that relate to community and those kinds of things. Being a person who runs a camp for blind kids and we've been actively involved for the last, 10 years doing it, that seems to be building that same community of people that schools for the blind used to build. which is, you know, it becomes obvious to me over, you know, over a period of, you know, looking at it over 5 years, all of a sudden you have these people who are coming back to your camp during the summertime who aren't campers, who are just wandering through, that are with whoever their significant others are, coming back to the camp, and then keeping lines of communications with people that they went to camp with, and a really big thing with our kids who come to the camp, and them, you know, creating lines of communication between each other that they wouldn't have had before, because we've got, you know, kids spread out over, you know, 83 counties, and they don't, that's their only access point to each other during, you know, during the year, is through what we do at the camp.
That's an interesting point, and I think I know what camp you're speaking of, and I actually went there for a couple of years as a
camp
young person.
Camp Tuscanita?
And, yeah, I remember those experiences as times when I was able to meet and identify with other young people with similar disabilities. And we need to be about that kind of thing for sure. I mean, the learning that goes on and the amount of support and that sort of thing, you can't put a price on that, and that's terrific.
The other point is that's kind of near and dear to my heart that your show, Disability Nation, talked about was I've been involved and been in the construction business for the last, you know, 30 years of my life, doing kitchens and different things, and universal access and visibility and those things have always been issues that, you know, I've always tried to pay attention to as a blind person, just so that you make sure that you have access for other people. One of the things I am noticing that happens, because in the fact that I did countertop business, I did a huge amount of commercial restrooms, and there was always apron issues for clearance for wheelchairs underneath the sinks and the lavatories. There was always the issues of placement of hand towels and height of counters and soap and those kinds of things. And I've noticed when people go back and do any retrofitting or upgrading in their restroom facilities, I was just at the Michigan Rehabilitation Conference up in Traverse City at out in Acme out there. And they had these, when they originally did the bathrooms, everything was accessible. They went to these new style paper towel holders, electronic, you know, paper towel holders and everything. They put them up real high, you know, so the people in the wheelchairs could no longer reach them. Their original stuff that they put in was reachable. Their original soap dispensers were in counter and were reachable. They replaced them with ones that they put up on the wall that were now totally out of reach. So
clearly they didn't consult with a Title III and ADAG expert, you know.
But see, there's a nice police force for when I worked, you know, when I worked in the industry and in doing bathrooms, you know, in new construction, the building inspector comes in and, you know, throws a tape measure on it. This has to be this high, this has to be that high. When people go back in and their maintenance people, you know, do additional things after the fact, there's no longer any kind of way to monitor or look at those.
Yeah, because you probably don't need the builder's permit to renovate what's existing.
Correct.
Unless you're going to do external structure, right?
Yep, correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great situation for people with disabilities to get involved. It's not hard to understand. I mean, some of it's pretty complex, but you'd be surprised about you know, how easy it is to know that, you know, paper towel dispensers and drinking fountains and these types of things have some of these basic guidelines for where they place things. And, you know, you as a person with a disability could go into a restroom or into a business and see these things and, you know, go talk to the manager or go talk to a local organization that can help you.
Well, George, let me ask you a question. Put you on the spot here for a second, maybe. But at your camp, do you ever bring someone in, just say for argument's sake, say someone like Larry, who is really motivational and who can really make it make sense why people need to get involved, to interact with the kids and young folks and really try to get them fired up to get into life with both feet?
We try to do that through people that we hire. Out of 29 employees last year, 19 of them were blind.
Mm-hmm.
So we search, you know, nationally, actually, for qualified blind people who have skills you know, that we're trying to emulate, you know, or get kids to be involved with. And what worries me is when I get a kid who's 6 years old who comes to the camp who, say, we're going to go canoeing, and he'll say, I can't canoe, I'm blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at 6 years old, he's already been exposed to enough negative stuff in the world that he already is limiting himself or herself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've seen that a lot in the work that I've done with children. I had an instance working with a very young child who was terrified because I had a guide dog, and it turned out that the child had never been allowed to touch a dog ever. And so I had a big old chocolate lab at the time, and he was about as laid back as somebody sleeping. And so I got down on the floor with the dog, and I put the little girl in my lap, and oh, she was just terrified. She felt his ear, and she said, oh, that's his sweater. And to her, his ear was so soft and broad, it felt like her sweater. So, you know, there are so many things that we need to do with our young people to really educate them and get them involved. And, you know, nothing is too much.
And what's happening, you know, I have, you know, a whole group of kids right now who are juniors and seniors in high school who are good students and smart kids and everything, and they're all flunking math because nobody in the system, all the people who knew how to teach math to blind people in the system when the School for the Blind here in the state of Michigan existed, those people have all retired, and that knowledge all left with them.
Yeah.
So we're ended up with a whole bunch of kids who aren't learning. Plus, the method of teaching math in general has gone to, you know, all this graphic illustration rather than analog illustration.
Yeah.
And how we get back on track with those kinds of things is quite difficult.
Yep. Well, George, I would love for you to send me an email.
I'll do that.
Because I, as I said the last time I spoke to you when we had Matthew on, I really want to have you on my show.
Okay.
You fascinate me. So
well, I really enjoyed Disability Nation. I'm going to sign up for your podcast so I don't miss any of them. And
great.
Oh, very cool.
Well, thank you.
You can also catch it on ACB Radio. So if you
right. I heard it I heard it last night. Then I heard it.
Great.
Yeah, half of it again today. So.
Super. Well,
I try to catch your show because it is informational and appreciate it.
Well, you know, I try to have something different every week for every listener. So sign up for the podcast and catch Larry on ACB Radio, and you'll get him twice.
Okay.
All right, George. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
And don't forget to email me.
I won't.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Are you good to go, or in the second hour? Can you hang in there with us?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm here as long as you need me to be.
Oh, gosh.
As long as people want me to be.
As long as people want you to be. Well, it's 3 minutes past the hour, so let me do a little bit of housekeeping here. If you are listening at any time other than take the deep breath and spit it out. 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, Monday morning, 2 to 3 Universal. Oh, it's a repeat if you're listening at any time other than that. So sit back and put your feet up and enjoy the show. And if you're listening during those times, give us a call at 866-666-7926. So let's talk a bit about Disability Nation. If we get a call, we'll ask them to hang on while we finish our thought. You started the program in June, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And you started it. Did you start it as a podcast?
I did. And let me give some terminology for people who don't know. This term podcast, you've heard a lot about, and it's pretty technical. And the number one thing that I try to dispel is that you don't have to have an iPod to listen
right,
to a podcast.
Right.
It's essentially an audio program, and now they even have video programs that you can either, most people actually, it's been shown, watch them or listen to them on their computer. Or you can download them to any MP3 player and listen wherever you're at. And so, you know, Disability Nation has been offered as a podcast and will continue to be
in the future. You know, obviously people can listen on ACB radio, but if you miss a show or something like that, you can absolutely subscribe to the show. And in fact, subscribers right now, it's a good time to be subscribed to it, because during the month of November, I've been running a contest, and the winner is going to win an iPod Shuffle. I'm trying to promote people listening and getting involved with the show, and it's good. That's been happening.
And before we take our call, why don't you give people the website? We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, if you go to www.disabilitynation.net, you can access the show. There are links to all kinds of information, all of the past episodes I've done. I've started providing transcripts through a company called Casting Words, so I'm slowly getting those up for folks with hearing impairments or who want to read instead of listen. And then the site, I've worked hard to make it really accessible, but over the next couple of weeks it's going to be getting a makeover, so it'll be even easier to use.
It's a lovely site, and I particularly love the links that are relevant to each show, and I was very impressed when I visited your site.
That's one of the things I try to do each week, every other week, whichever it is, depending on my schedule that I produce the show lately. It's been every week. I make sure I put up all kinds of links related to the show topic, to the organization or issue that I've talked about, and really there's pictures up there and all sorts of information.
Let's bring our caller in. Hi there. You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Marlena?
This is Miss Books and Beyond, Bonnie.
Yes, I'd like to welcome another person to ACB Radio.
Yes, Bonnie has a very popular show here on ACB Radio at the mainstream called Books and Beyond, and it appears, 2.5 hours before Disability Nation?
Correct. Yeah. So, see, if I mess up or screw up and I don't do a good job, then they won't stay around for you.
There you go, Bonnie. It's all on your shoulders.
That's right.
I'm glad somebody else is willing to take responsibility for that.
Oh, sure, always. I'll take any responsibility you want to put on me. But I wanted to, say that when you said that you really believe that we're advocates in terms of how we live our lives, I really couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, ACB Radio and the book groups I do on the Fillmore voicemail system, one of the things I've been talking about with friends of mine lately is that as blind people often were underutilized because so many of us are unemployed, and of course there are percentages that are, and that's great, but, you know, it means that for the people who aren't, that they have to find other venues and other ways in which they can serve the world and be of service or help to other people, or to just make their lives better and to feel that they're really contributing something to the world.
You make a good point, and I will share that I got my first real job, as I call it, a career job, because of being an advocate and being involved. I was going to school part-time and going to college and looking for work and having a tough time finding something, and along the way was experiencing some major headaches with public transportation, and that issue got me involved with a coalition of people with all kinds of different disabilities who were working on improving the system. And I guess I impressed the director of the organization, because I got a job probably 6-8 months after starting my involvement with that group. So you never know what your efforts will lead to once people see your skills and creativity and how active you can be.
And sometimes it takes a long time. I'm a certified lay speaker as well. And in my church today, they finally, after 4 years, asked me to do a morning sermon.
Oh, my gosh.
I've done sermons in other churches. In fact, I was the outstanding lay speaker of the year for my district a couple years ago. But my church has never asked me, because I think what happens, too, is that people get so used to us doing things that they don't really think about what it is that we would like to be doing. And so we're there, but they don't really notice anymore. And so that means that we have to be even more, how can I put it, we have to show even more initiative in really letting people know what it is that we can do and would like to do.
I think you're right there, and you know, we have to be our own best advocate and our own best promoter, if you will. And so I'm glad to hear that they finally picked you up and that you're going to be doing that.
Well, thank you. And Marlena, if I may, I would just like to tell you that Nancy is in rehab.
Oh, great. Nancy is not only Bonnie's best friend, but she has been Bonnie has a very unique situation with her show. She's loved by so many people, and some of the people who I don't want to say love her the most, but who certainly are around her a great deal have formed together to be her team to help her produce her show. And Nancy Lynn is one of the folks who helps Bonnie with getting her guests and getting things lined up. And Nancy had become very, very ill. Was it the diagnosis that you...
Some form of meningitis.
Yeah, some form of meningitis. Oh. And Bonnie is in, let's see, now I'm
going to...
Ohio, that's right.
I'm
and
not
Nancy,
going to put you through
and
all
Nancy's
that another time.
In,
I'll
and
let you know when you're getting the test.
Yeah, Nancy's in Missouri. Nancy's in Missouri.
Right.
I got that right.
That's right.
And together, they put this wonderful show on each week called Books and Beyond. And Nancy, as I say, became very ill very suddenly. Was it last weekend?
2 weeks ago, Veterans Day weekend.
Ah, okay. And before you go, Bonnie, why don't you give yourself a plug for this week's taping of Books and Beyond in the Politics Room at www.acbradio.org.
Okay. This is good because I just learned how to pronounce her last name again.
There you go.
You know those guests who have difficult names and don't matter.
Oh, yeah, I've had two of them in the last month, yes.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, then I'm glad I didn't torture you with where I was from. Anyway... My guest this week is Kathy Sinier. She is a blind individual who works at the NLS branch of the library in Louisville, Kentucky, and she's going to talk about what it's like to be a librarian and what they go through and how we make their lives difficult or better.
Very
and
cool.
Just whatever questions I come up with between now and then, and they will be good as they hopefully always are.
And why don't you let people know when the show is taped?
Certainly. The show is taped on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. in the Politics Room, located on our place of acbradio.org. And we meet in the Politics Room, which is a chat room there, and you can come in and help create the show.
And that's...
Then it airs... this show will air out of rotation, but we're doing some holiday shows coming up, some product shows, and they will be taken out of rotation and air the same week they're recorded. But we have a good time. Sometimes people stay afterward, and we talk for a while. And so it's a very pleasant, comfortable, cozy, nice friends experience. It's wonderful. The shows are great. I would say that, but I think it's a wonderful show, and I think anybody who comes to it would enjoy it. I feel like I got my first fan today. There's a woman who told me, she said, Bonnie said, I wouldn't do anything else on Wednesday nights. I said, you're it. You're my first
fan. There you go. There you go.
Like
Dale Campbell with his Cooking in the Dark show says, he said, well, we've got 23 listeners now. Of course, he has many more than that. But anyway, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and that's Thursday morning and 1 Universal in the Politics Room.
That's
so,
right.
There you go. All right, Miss Bonnie, will you take care?
I will, and thank you so much for your call the other day. I appreciated it, and... I wish you luck with your show, Larry, and good luck
Thank
with
you.
Everything. I've listened to it. I like it a lot.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, take
Bye-bye.
Care, Bonnie. Bye-bye. Lots of people listening to Disability Nation. You know, I'm looking at the intro, and, of course, you recognize that I clipped a lot of it off of your website that I used to introduce you. And what I'm looking at shows Disability Nation as all one word. Is that?
Yep.
And is there significance to that?
I was just trying to create something catchy.
Oh, okay.
You know, the N's capitalized, so
yeah.
I don't know. It just looks neater in print, I guess.
Yeah, well, I
try to do some of those clever marketing ploys.
I liked it because it sort of drew together to me the concept of people with disabilities are in the nation, we're in the world, we're part of the world, we're all one. Disability Nation is all one word, but I tend to get schmaltzy, so.
Now, and that's really, whether it was one word or two, that's exactly what was meant by using that name. So apparently it's working.
Yeah. Oh, well, it hit me that way when I looked at it in Braille. I printed it out, and I thought, oh, look at that. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask you another Disability Nation question, but let's bring the caller in. Hi there.
Oh, good.
You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this? Hello?
This is Timothy from Halifax.
Hi, Timothy. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. And you?
Timothy is calling all the way from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Wow. Great. Great. Thanks for calling.
Did you have
no problem. I actually listened to your show just before the famous Marlena show.
The famous Marlena. I pay these people, Larry, you know.
And I appreciate that I'm on right before you, I tell you.
And what did you think, Timothy? Did you like the show?
Yeah, I do.
Well, good. Do you have anything like that up in Halifax?
We have an audio newsstand called Voice Spring Canada.
Oh, that's your radio reading service, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But we have a lot of issues that are broadcast on there as well.
Okay.
I will say, Timothy, that I have a lot of listeners up in Canada. You may be the first from Nova Scotia, but I know that a lot of people listen from British Columbia, a couple from Ontario, and a couple from Quebec. I want to offer a show. It's interesting you call, because I want to offer a show that, the largest, actually only about 79% of my listeners or people that visit my website are from the United States. And so I do have about 20% of the people that listen and visit the website from other countries, and I want to offer a show that is definitely of interest to other people. So while the primary audience is in the United States, I do get a lot of people like yourself from Canada and other places that are interested.
Where do you get your content?
Well, unlike the last caller who has somebody or a team of people helping her produce her show, I do it all myself. And I tell you, I would love at some point here to get some assistance. And I should say, I'll say in a moment, I do have some other contributors. But I really do the research and gather content. And I do that from just reviewing news articles. I get a lot of press releases. I'm on a lot of email lists and just things I know. There's no shortage of things to talk about in the disability community, as you probably know.
All right. Anything else, Tim?
No, that's quite about it. I just wanted to say that congratulations, and I hope you keep on going.
All right. Great.
Thank you. I plan on it.
Well, you have a nice evening up there in Halifax, sir.
Oh, I will. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. It's about 18 minutes past the hour, give or take, because it's the internet, and we'll be with you till almost the top of the hour. Larry, what would you say from your perspective as the producer of Disability Nation, and this may put you on the spot a bit, but what would you say was perhaps the most interesting or challenging episode that you've put together?
I've had a couple. Once you get past the challenges of actually, there's a lot of work that go into producing a show, Marlena, as you know.
People don't know the half of it, yes.
Yeah, they don't. And then they listen to the product, and it's just they're impressed, and that's we want you to be. But it takes hours of work to put out even this half-an-hour show that I put out. But once I get past all the logistics and all of those sorts of things, I guess I've had a couple of really interesting shows. I did one back in July with a gentleman with a mental health organization up in New York, and I really never understood the issue of what they call mental health parity. And that is basically where if you look at your insurance plan, those of you who are working, if you look at your employer-offered insurance, you're likely to find that physical health and well-being is treated very differently than mental health and well-being. Your co-pays in terms of counseling, your number of visits that your insurance company will pay for, even if they pay for it at all when you go to counseling, there is a very unequal treatment of mental health versus physical health. And this person I interviewed from New York talked about a law they're trying to pass in New York called Timothy's Law. And Timothy was a 12-year-old who committed suicide because of his mental health issues. And his parents did everything they could to get him treatment, right down to having to turn over custody of their son to the state so that he could be covered by the state to get treatment. And in the end, he lost his life. And this is not an isolated story. It happens to children and adults. And so it was interesting to learn about this law, to learn about what mental health parity is, and just how difficult the situation is. And then I do interviews with people and about issues that really, really make me feel good. You know, I ran a show where I interviewed a gentleman who started a company providing what I think is a very valuable service to businesses and the disability community, where he basically gets contracts from businesses to send in secret shoppers or mystery shoppers who look for accessibility issues or how they're treated. And they're people with disabilities, and they're paying assignments, and you complete a report. And that was really interesting. So I've done a show about the UN Disability Treaty and all sorts of other things, and it's just a lot of fun. But sometimes the issues are really, really challenging and difficult.
We've got another caller. Let's bring them in. Hi there. You're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Ann. Hey, Larry. It's Dale Campbell.
Oh, my gosh. It's Dale Campbell. How you doing, Mr. Dale?
I'm doing great. Matt, when I was on hold, you took my question, Larry. We're on the same wave path. You see,
Let me hold it. Stop. Let me just say that Dale's show follows Bonnie's show on Saturday nights, Sundays. Dale does Cooking in the Dark, and so Dale comes on. Let's see, I can't do this math, man. He comes on
carry the one.
An hour and a half before you do, Larry. This is like old home week.
That's right, man.
And I've listened. I was going to say, I've listened to your show. I want you to know I love your show, so it's great to hear
fantastic,
from you.
Man. Fantastic, man.
See, Dale, you got 24 listeners now.
24.
Oh, my God.
Golly, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm pretty soon, you know, let's see, I've got all my toes, my fingers have used, my ears, my nose. But what I was going to ask was, what was, you know, one of your favorite shows or what show, you know, if there was a show that you particularly did because of a, not so much of just a general reasoning, but more because of a personal influence. If there was one show that really touched home with you.
Yeah, I did an interview back in August with a coworker, a former coworker of mine. And, you know, I need to go back to this series because I like to just talk to people. Real people with disabilities who aren't necessarily connected to an organization or an issue. And just hear their story, and I guess I've done two or three of those, and I started that back in August with somebody who I used to work with, and those are really good shows, I think, because, you know, you're not hearing about somebody who's done some great and powerful thing or whatever. You're just hearing from a normal person who has a disability, and we talk about, you know, what was their life like before their disability, and if they've always had their disability, you know. We just kind of go right into what is your life like and what are some of the challenges you face and what are some victories you've had. And I think it's just really good for, you know, my audience is people with disabilities, and I think it's really good for us to hear about what other people deal with, our accomplishments and challenges, because we all deal with the same thing usually.
And it is. It's one of those things, you know, walk a mile in my shoes. You know, I mean, when you can do that, when you can interview somebody, the ability to have that perspective. I mean, that really opens it up, because I know what it is now to be, you know, to do life totally blind, but I mean, there's so many other aspects.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's all, man. I just wanted to hop in real quick, say hey, all of us Sunday night folk. I guess, or Sunday, Saturday night, Sunday folk.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't even know.
Yeah, retitle the show, you know.
All of us one UTC folks.
That's right. All you one UTCers. That's right.
That's where we're at.
You know, and what you complicate these UTC Pacific and Eastern time zones. Those of us in Arizona who don't even ever switch our time.
I know. It's just crazy. It's just nuts. But
see, I gave up. All right. It's on.
Dale just says to me, just tell me when I should say it's on.
Yeah, just say, okay, it's on. Tune in sometime Sunday and just listen, and sooner or later we'll be around.
That's right.
That's what I tell people.
That's right. Sooner or later, it's like Alice's Restaurant. It all comes around.
That's right.
Let me just mention here real quickly before I forget. I'm glad you called, Dale, because it reminds me that I want to let listeners know that next week is our online vendors parade. And Dale will be joining us as one of the vendors that we're going to highlight, so that if you haven't started your holiday shopping or you've got that little last-minute gift that you got to pick up for Aunt Mabel and Uncle Fred, why, you'll get some ideas next week on the Marlena program. So,
that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And the mice are excited. They are so ready for Christmas to be over. They've had to take their tails off, and, you know, their tails were getting in the way. It's been crazy here at the mice mart.
Well, you just get the mice settled down and join us next week, and I'll be in touch with you through the week to let you know where you're going to be in the rotation, and I got to work it all out here.
Work it all out, baby.
Yeah, we're going to work it out.
Shake it up.
All right.
Put me late if you can, because we're going to be recording cooking shows all day Sunday tonight.
Oh, you got it. That's fine. No problem.
So we'll be good to go, man. We got to do those Christmas holiday things, and you know, and then the spirit show for New Year's Eve to make sure everybody has a happy New Year.
That's my anniversary.
All right.
Yeah. So.
Well, cool, man.
All right. I'll talk to you through the week.
Larry, enjoy the show, man. Keep it up.
Thanks. You too.
Bye bye.
Bye, Em.
866-666-7926. You know, I really can identify with you when you talk about a hope to have others involved with you. I sometimes sit here and scratch my head and think, what can I do in 2 weeks? I have nothing to do. And when you're live for 2 hours and you have nothing to do, it's a real problem. It's, you know, so you mentioned that you do get some assistance with some of your content.
I do. Dave Reynolds is with an organization called Inclusion Daily Express, and he offers a daily disability news service, and people, it's a paid subscription, although you can try it for a couple of weeks for free. So he offers this, and I asked him to kind of come on board, and he contributes about a 5-minute news update to each show where he highlight some of the news stories that are happening that week in the disability community. And as we get the ACB radio broadcast up to speed here, that'll be on there too. And Dave covers stories, you know, both in the United States and around the world from a disability perspective, and there's a lot out there. And so he's a contributor to the show. And then I work with a gentleman, Ross Weinsky, who is out of Nashville, Tennessee, and he contributes an assistive technology segment.
So
that's pretty interesting too. So, but there's definitely the possibility of other folks getting on board, either on a you know, contributing to the programming or helping to actually research news items or stories and show topics we could cover.
Oh, very cool. Well, I know how appreciated leads are on this end, so I'm sure they're equally appreciated on that end. And if I, in my travels, come up with something that I think you might be interested in, I'll pass it on to you.
That would be great.
Let's bring our caller in. Hi there, you're with Larry and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Kelly Spurgia.
Another Canadian calling in. Hello, Mr. Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's great to have you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see now, where are you? You're in...
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
That's right. How could I forget Moose Jaw? I told him it was like Moose.
I've actually heard of that.
Well, I told him it reminded me of Moose Drool beer, and he assured me it was not the same thing. So,
quite the name for the beer I missed in there.
Yeah, it's a lovely name. Anyway, I'll let you introduce you to Larry.
Hello.
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you, too. And I just wanted to welcome you to ACB Radio.
Well, I'm certainly glad to be offering a show and content that's of interest, and both appreciate ACB Radio for helping to promote my show, but also am glad to help promote ACB Radio and provide some what I hope is interesting programming.
If Kelly is a DJ on the interactive side of the house, and Kelly is the voice of many of our, you're listening to ACB Radio, Radio by the Blind for the World type promos, and we need to get a promo going for Larry's show. I'll put Kelly on the spot here now, see? And but Kelly, oh, he makes great promos. He does a wonderful job. So you and I, Larry, we'll have to work out some text that you want, and we'll get it to Kelly, and he'll make it all happen. Right, Kelly?
Absolutely.
I knew he'd say yes.
Absolutely. Right. Anything I can do, just let me know.
All right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else, Mr. Kelly?
Well, I just had a couple of things, actually.
I'll go for it.
I was just going to say, when you were talking about that, you know, about your dog, you know, and the little girl there, you know, who had never touched a dog in
her
life.
Oh, yes, yes.
I just found that hard to believe. I mean, I know you're telling the truth, but really, you know, I just never pictured that.
Yeah, yep.
It's amazing.
Yep. She had never touched a dog. Her parents were afraid. They never put her down on the floor. On her own, she was always on a leash or a rope, and so that she couldn't, you know, get hurt.
Yeah, that's not good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say, when you were talking about cooking there, did you get my recipe?
Which recipe? No.
Oh, you didn't?
When did you send it?
Yesterday.
No, and it hasn't been in my spam folder either.
I sent it to your Marlena at Traco.
Yeah. Well, try sending it again, and if I don't answer you, it means I didn't get it. And so we'll have to figure out something else. Because I have wacky email. Some of my email goes into the big bit bucket in the sky. It doesn't go to spam. It doesn't come to me. It just goes, who knows?
So I want to know when that bucket gets full.
Yeah, it'll be full of my email is what it is.
I've got a lot there, too.
Well, send it again, Kelly.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right. Well, hey, listen, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye.
That big bit bucket in the sky. Oh, dear. So what's the future for Disability Nation? If you had a magic lamp and you could design exactly what you wanted, what would the future of Disability Nation be?
Well, there's actually a lot happening in the very near future. Long term, my goal is that this show continues to be a weekly program and probably grows to an hour as I get some other folks involved to help contribute content or help me to get content, because I think that there's that much information out there to cover. You know, I can say some generalities about what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 months. The show is going to be picked up by the local radio reading service called Sun Sounds here in Arizona, and we just tentatively talked about January, nothing confirmed date wise, but you know, they've agreed to pick up the show and to syndicate it out to other radio reading services. So the potential is there for a much larger audience, and obviously it'll continue to be available on the internet and hopefully to grow the audience in that way. And I'd like to one day see it become kind of a for-profit operation. I would like to be able to make, you know, I don't know about my sole living doing it, but that would be terrific. But at least to be able to
you know, see some income from it. But that's not my greatest goal. I do this because I like doing it. I've been doing it for about 6 months now, and I'll keep doing it no matter what happens, because I just really feel like it gives me an opportunity to be creative and use my talents in speaking and production and interviewing and journalism and those kinds of things. And it gives an opportunity for people to learn more about disability issues and to hopefully become more involved and active because of it. So irregardless of what happens on the business end of it, I really want to see it continue to grow in terms of listenership and the role it can play in informing people and doing those sorts of things.
Do you have a goal or a thought to try to market it to the mainstream market?
Yes and no. I see marketing it to the mainstream market in terms of underwriting some of the costs in terms of bandwidth and, you know, I even actually want to see some merchandise created so that people can kind of promote the show through, if it's a keychain or a T-shirt or whatever it is, that hey, I listen to Disability Nation. I'm part of the broader Disability Nation, and to kind of see the brand, if you will, mm-hmm. Expand a bit. But I don't see it ever. I won't say never, I think that because it's a podcast and not available over what you might think of as normal means, your AM or FM radio, I have some latitude in terms of what I cover, and I don't have somebody breathing down my neck about ratings and selling advertising mm-hmm. and all of those things. And when you have those types of demands, you have certain responsibilities, and you know, if you don't achieve your ratings, they're going to can your show, so you better keep it, you know, this way. So I like the product as it is in terms of its flexibility and being able to do what I want with the show and what I think people want to hear. So hopefully that's a good enough answer.
Well, when I listened to the show, I thought of two things in terms of mainstream marketing. I can't get all those M's, N's, and M's together here. The first is, what a cool show for public radio. And the second was, what a cool name for an XM channel that would be available to anyone but would program programming of interest to people with disabilities. You know,
that's a really good idea. And if anybody's going to pick that up, it would probably be something that like satellite radio that offers very specialized. I actually have some. I should say I have some designs on creating some additional disability type shows. Time is always the issue, but that's one of my other goals, is to create some additional programming. One show I'm kicking around is specific to disability sports, and I don't have a name for it yet, but there is just some neat stuff out there. I love sports, and I know a lot of people do, but be it Paralympics or sled hockey or tennis or whatever, people with disabilities doing triathlons or whatever, that's one of the shows I'm looking at getting started next year, is something that will focus on interviews and such related to disability and sports. I have some other ideas as well, but we'll see where that goes.
My gosh, when I slotted you into your time slot, I guess I knew what I was doing, because not only are you preceded by Bonnie and Dale, who have both called in, but the half hour just before you is a program called Sports Fans Feedback.
And I've listened to that.
Yeah, and that's a brand new show. It's just beginning to grow, and for folks who are interested in participating in that, it's Tuesday nights in the politics room and using the chat client. But it's a brand new program. It's just beginning to grow, and yet it's such a wonderful concept, you know, talking about sports, not necessarily just sports that are the Paralympics or whatever, but sports from a blindness perspective. And
right.
And of course on ACB Radio it would be from a blindness perspective, but from a disability perspective in your case. We're not seen as people who love sports and love life by the general public, and so to affirm that for those of us who do, I think any way you can do it is a really good thing to do.
You're absolutely right, and that's one of the things, be it the sports show that I look to get started, or continuing with Disability Nation, just talking about issues that make people go, huh, I'd never thought about that.
Yeah.
But it's just a normal thing.
And I'd like to see more programming regarding women with disabilities.
And obviously I'm probably not the person who's qualified to do that, but that's definitely an area of discussion. I absolutely agree with you. If somebody is out there listening that says, hey, I'd love to do that kind of thing, you know, I speaking for myself, I know I would love to do what I can to help you get started with
that.
Oh,
absolutely.
Because, again, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
lots
yeah.
of things to explore there.
Yeah, I continue to put the call out that, you know, we would love, if you want to do a program on ACB Radio Mainstream concerning women and disabilities or women and blindness, but it doesn't even have to just be generic to blindness, just women and women with disabilities. There's so many issues that we as women face that compound our disability. You know, we're invisible on two counts, if you will, to many people. We're women and we're blind. Ah, well, skip right over her, you know. So it's a critical area that really, I don't know anyone who's covering that on a radio show.
I don't either, and that's just one of many issues that I can think of that that would make for really good discussion and learning for everyone. So, yeah, definitely a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we wrap up here, let me ask you a totally off-the-wall question.
All right.
When you do have time to do something other than go to work and do Disability Nation, what are some of your interests, just as Larry the guy?
I love sports. As I said earlier, I've gone to lots of baseball games. Since moving to Arizona, Phoenix has the Diamondbacks, and so I've been able to go to lots of games. And so I love doing that. I really like obviously like computers and spend a lot of time with that. Reading, usually nonfiction, biography, history type stuff. I enjoy movies, although I'm very picky, and lately I just haven't had a lot of good things to go see.
Yeah.
I just normal things like anybody else. And travel is always great.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get on as many cruises as you do, but I've been on a few, and I love it.
I've sort of become famous for this cruise thing, I think. Oh, gosh. You know, the movie I want to see that's out now is Bobby. And I was really upset to discover that it is closed captioned but not described.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit, it seems. But yet I am pleased to see overall that it sure does seem like the number of movies that are including descriptive video and closed captioning seems to be increasing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now if we can get that move to DVD sales, we'll be in business.
Yeah,
I, for one, appreciate that greatly.
Yeah. Well, Larry, I appreciate that you joined me tonight on Thanksgiving weekend. And I knew we would get a lot of interesting calls. And I knew from listening to the Disability Nation shows that I've had the pleasure to hear and spending time with you. Was it Pittsburgh where I met you? I think.
It was.
I think it was Pittsburgh.
And he even sold me a Braille, though.
I know.
I still have it.
Oh, that's wonderful. But
it was Pittsburgh.
I knew we would have a very interesting show and one that covered a wide number of topics. And before I do let you go, is there anything you want to wrap up with that we touched on or we didn't touch on? Just kind of giving you a chance to wrap it up in your style.
Well, sure. I just, again, I want to encourage people to not just listen to the show, but get involved. I try to make it interactive in that I know it's not live and you can't call in, but if you have ideas that you want to talk about or show topics that you think are interesting or just want to talk about disability issues, I'm always happy to do that. Take the time to send an email or give a call. And I guess if I could just, again, say that, there's 54 million of us, and we hear that all the time, and it, gets said so often, I think that it gets lost on us. But we can be a very powerful group, and it's easy to look at all of the reasons why, we can't work together or what might go wrong, but, I think we've had a lot of good successes in the past as a community, and especially among young people, just to really encourage people to get involved. And, it doesn't have to be that you join an organization and do 101 other things as a person with a disability to do good things. It can just be individual things that you do to make a difference in your community. So be doing that. And just to remind people, the website is www.disabilitynation.net, and you can listen to past shows, listen to the current show. I do offer on the site the ability to subscribe to get email updates about the show. I've got to be honest, it's completely a different service, and it's out of my control. There is a word verification, so anybody who's visually impaired, I tell them, email me. It's contact@disabilitynation.net, and I will sign you up and take care of everything for you, and that's no problem. I've had people do it. And then, just listen to the show, and I'm glad that so many people have called, and I look forward to continuing to do it.
Thank you very much, Larry, and good luck with Disability Nation.
Thanks a lot.
Of course, the voices of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and the times, they are a-changin'. And we need to all work together in order to ensure that the times change, that's for sure. What a great, great provider Larry is. ACB Radio is really just so rich with so many good content providers, both here at the mainstream and on the cafe and over at Interactive and the Treasure Trove, of course. Can't forget the Treasure Trove. Well, we are about ready to wrap up here, and just let me remind you again that next week's program is going to be the Vendor Parade, the online Vendor Parade. I feel like I should be playing In Your Easter Bonnet, No. No, what, that's not the one. The Easter Parade song. I don't know. But, you know, this is one of these days when I don't know what I'm talking about. But the online vendor Christmas Parade, that's what we'll call it. We'll make it up as we go. And thus far, we are going to have, and we will probably have more than this by next week, but we're going to hear, of course, from the infamous Mr. Dale Campbell, who is just becoming someone that I just adore. You never know what's going to come out of Dale's mouth. You just buckle your seatbelt and take the ride, man, because you don't know. But a wonderful person and a great heart and someone who does a great deal for the community and for children and ACB Radio. So we'll have Dale Campbell from Blind Mice Mart. We'll have Stephen Guerra again from Independent Living Aids. And we'll have Tony Mead from Blind Treasures, and we'll have Tom Walsh and his partner, whose name I have forgotten. I apologize, Tom, from the Christmas Cabin. You may remember we had Tom on last year, in our vendor parade, talking about the Christmas Cabin, and we highlighted Tom last year because his wife, Marianne, who started the Christmas Cabin, had passed away, I believe, the previous May. And I just felt that it was important that Tom have an opportunity to talk about the site and what kinds of things were on the site for folks to take advantage of. And it's a beautiful site. So Tom will be here with his partner, who I think is from Utah. Tom is from Pennsylvania, to talk about the Christmas Cabin site. And we have a few more things in the works. I am waiting to confirm with someone who provides health products. So, you know, you never know what you might find here. And if you own a business or run a business, you sell things, and you would like to be a part of the online Christmas vendor parade next week on Marlena, you have only to email me at Marlena, M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. If I don't answer you, it means I didn't get the email. And so, what I would suggest is go to the websites, the ACB Radio websites, and fill out the questionnaire. And, 'cause those are forwarded to me by Chrissy Cochran, our managing director, and I don't ever have a problem getting Chrissy's mail. So, if I don't answer you, I didn't get the email, and so go up to the website and fill out the form that way. Now, on the, following week, on the 10th of December, which is the 11th in UTC land, we will have a guest host because I am going to be attending an audio described performance of White Christmas. So we'll have a guest host, and we'll tell you more about that next week. On the 17th of December, I'm pretty sure that the old fat man from the north is going to join us. And so this would be a really good show to share in the circles where there are children, blind children, sighted children, children with disabilities, children without, we don't care, children of all ages. But Santa is coming to the Marlena show to listen to your Christmas wishes. So I think that's kind of cool. I don't know if Santa has ever appeared on ACB Radio before. We'll have to ask Santa that. And I understand that Santa has some Braille reading elves employed this year. And so if you send a Braille letter, particularly if you're a little kid, and you send a Braille letter to this address, Christmas by Touch. That's Christmas by Touch. 632 South 189th Street, Seattle, Washington, 98148. That's Christmas by Touch, 632 South 189th Street, Seattle, Washington, 98148. Those letters will be forwarded on to the Braille reading elves, and Santa will respond to them on my show. I think that's pretty cool. Those Christmas by Touch people, you just never know what they're going to be up to. So that's kind of what's coming up. And then I think on the 24th, we will have a replay of a popular show. And on the 31st, we will talk to you about your New Year's traditions. What are you doing for New Year's? What do you like to do for New Year's? What's your resolution this year? Are we gonna make resolutions we can't keep? And why do we do that anyway? Good grief. Who knows? Why do we do that? So that's what we've got planned for the upcoming month here on the Marlena program. Now, I'm very eager to bring in the new year with some bright, shiny new guests and faces, and would love to hear from you with ideas. I did receive a wonderful email from Lolly Lajewski. See if you'd send me ideas, I'll say your name. Of course, I didn't ask Lolly if I could, but hey, that never stopped me before. And she presented at least four opportunities for guests to me, and I emailed her straight back and said any one of them would be fabulous. All of them would be spectacular. So we're hoping that that she'll be able to help line up some of these folks in the first part of the year. So even if you don't know how to get in touch with folks, but you've got an idea, just send it along to me. I'd love to hear it. And that's going to about wrap it up for this week. It's been a joy. And remember what Larry's advocating. Get involved. And involvement can mean just do what you do in your own private life to the very best of your ability. You've been listening to the Marlena program, heard this time each week at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. I hope you'll come back again next week and join me. And in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a program you'd like us to air or a guest you'd like us to invite to the show, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena. That's spelled M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A at acbradio.org. It has been a joy to have been with you this week, and I want to thank the people that helped make it all possible. They include Chrissy Cochran in the UK, the ACB Radio team from Australia to Arizona, and, of course, Gary the Board Guy in the other room. Without them, the show wouldn't be possible. So do come back again next week, same time, same place, right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. Till then, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.